Hello, and welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I'm Mellified, and I'm joined in hosting duties today by the esteemed Fenrir765 and our very own Optimus Maximus. We've decided to make this a very special guest-free episode of the TagCast because we have so very much to say about all the new games released recently and how they've been reviewed. Fenrir, how are you doing this week?
It's Monday. That's all I can say so far. I mean, yay, day one down.
All right. Well, you survived. You get to have some fun with us tonight, so, or at least hopefully some fun. So
it's always fun, Mel. It's always fun.
All right. Optimus, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'll be doing better when we get this in the can. I can get back to Crackdown 3.
You feeling the withdrawal a little bit there, huh?
Oh, yeah, I got it bad.
All right, well, let's not delay any further. We want to get Hop to his fix for the night. Hop, you've got our first news story this week.
Yes, they finally announced a release window, not a date, but a release window for the Bloodstained Ritual of Night, which is the latest Metroidvania game by the originator of the genre, really, by Igarashi from Konami, the creator of Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Bloodstained Ritual of Night started as a Kickstarter like 3-4 years ago. I backed this thing, and if you backed it, you got a free copy of Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, which was my game of the year last year, which was the 8-bit retro inspired clone. This is the full blown real game. It runs on a 2.5D looking engine. It's full polys but running 2D. It looks beautiful. The promise is that it's going to be the true sequel to Symphony of the Night, but it's not in the Castlevania universe. It's in the new Bloodstained universe. It's very Castlevania inspired because basically Konami told Igarashi that nobody cared about his game, so he left. Anyway, so I'm excited about this game. They've announced it for summer of 2019, so that could mean anywhere from May to August, maybe. I'm hoping closer to May, but we'll see what happens as we get closer to that release window. But anyway, I'm excited. Castlevania fans are excited. If you like Metroidvanias, you should be excited, because I think this is going to be a good one.
Have they said which platforms?
Okay, so originally it was like on everything under the sun. Now they've pared it down to its PC, Xbox, Switch, PS4. I think that's it. They canceled the Vita port and they canceled the Linux port recently because I guess they decided there wasn't enough for whatever reason, backers or team or something. There are some people that are kind of mad about that. But it's on the major platforms, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch.
Well, let's be real, right? The Vita's dead. And,
right.
You know, Valve tried to make Linux a thing for a few years there. They've given up on it. I don't see why the developer should be expected to.
Well, and anybody that really is running Linux probably has a copy of Wine installed, and they're running their Windows games on there anyway.
Yeah.
Let's not beat around the bush on that. Linux people have known how to play games for years. They're smarter than most other people. Not, you know, that's just how it rolls.
Fair enough. Chucklefish has basically said to Sony, liar, liar, pants on fire. This is kind of an interesting one, but requires a little bit of history. So Sony recently came out and said that they were open for business as far as cross-platform play goes. This is after getting blasted in the press repeatedly for the last, I don't know, 9 months. Fortnite managed to convince Sony to allow cross-play. The only way I can imagine that went down is, you know, Epic said to Sony, do it or else we pull Fortnite from your platform. And we will watch PlayStation burn at that point. So, you know, Chucklefish responded to Sony making this declaration that, hey, we're ready to go, by saying, we've tried repeatedly, we've talked to Sony multiple times, we've talked to our account manager, the developer relations people, and we're told in no uncertain terms it was never going to happen. So clearly there's a disconnect there. I'm not quite sure, you know, why that is the case, but a little bit of egg on the on Sony's face after, you know, this came out, I think, which Sony could probably do without at this stage, given this has been such a thorn in their side for so long.
I mean, forgive me, I get developers and people confused all the time. Chucklefish is what again?
They are the publisher of Stardew Valley and the developer of the recently released Advance Wars clone, whose name is I'm blanking on at the moment. Hop, what the heck is the name of that game? Do you remember? Wargroove? Wargroove, yes, thank you.
Yeah, I was about to say Wargroove.
Yes.
You're speaking a language I don't even understand anymore, so.
And, yeah, Studnuckle was the one that had the huge erection for that game.
Yes, he was very excited. Well, and, yeah. And Wargroove has a ton of really cool cross-platform features, but not with PlayStation, so. Unfortunate. Fenrir, what's your story of the week?
Well, everybody's favorite conglomerate in China, Tencent, is continuing to massively build its empire of video games. They recently just bought in a stake or full-on purchase of Square Enix. Square Enix is a huge developer. They make tons of great games, Final Fantasy, Tomb Raider, a lot of different things going on. But they've just come in and made it what they said is an alliance, I guess, with Square Enix to help them kind of continue doing what they're doing. But, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Square's had some good connections with people over the years, so it'll be interesting to see how this really impacts things. I mean, Tencent already has 40% of Epic Games, 5% of Ubi, 5% of Activision Blizzard, which that place is on a free fall right now. Riot Games, they have a majority ownership of that, so League of Legends there is theirs. Majority stake in Supercell, which is obviously the Clash of Clans. And somehow they have a partnership with Take-Two for things, I'm assuming, to be sold and distributed in China. So Tencent just becoming that company that is going to eventually, you know, have its mark on everything and make us be what it wants it to be.
A little scary, but hopefully they're benign investors rather than changing content, I suppose.
I mean, League of Legends is still what it is, I'm assuming, when they got bought out, and Clash of Clans continues to go strong, and I don't know really anything else. Ubisoft and Activision Blizzard don't seem to have enough of a stake control over them, so they can still do whatever they want to do. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Square, because Square has been a major developer for a very long time.
Absolutely. You want to move us into upcoming games, Fen?
Yeah, so there's a lot of games that just came out and a lot of games that are going to be coming out soon. The first one, let's talk about some of the things that just released. Constructor Plus on the Switch, Crackdown 3 on Xbox and PC. We'll be diving into that a lot. Yep, I said Crackdown.
Wait, Crackdown?
Yes.
Ooh, Crackdown.
Or other known as the new drug that the kids are doing these days. Far Cry New Dawn, PS4, Xbox, PC. Jump Force, PS4, Xbox, PC.
I kind of want to get Jump Force, but I'm waiting to see some more stuff. Only because it has JoJo's Bizarre Adventure characters in it. All right, anyway, move on.
Metro Exodus on PS4, Xbox, and PC. Those are all games that just came out on the 15th. Now moving forward to games that you'll see for the rest of the month. February 19th, Yakuza Kiwami on the PC. February 22nd, those of us who do not have EA Access or EA Premier, I believe it's called, will finally get to be able to play Anthem on the PS4, Xbox, and PC. I'm going to butcher this name. Aragami Shadow Edition on the Switch. That's all on the February 22nd. 4 days later, on the 26th, we'll get Dirt Rally 2.0. Lego Movie 2 video game, Nier Automata, Game of the Yora, Edition on PS4, PC, Townsman, A Kingdom Rebuilt, PC, Trials Rising, PS4, Switch, Xbox, PC, Stellaris, Console Edition, PS4, Xbox.
I'm super excited for that one. Stellaris is my by far favorite strategy game on the PC right now, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it on the console.
I've heard that a lot of people are worried about how that ports over because of the controller.
For sure. I mean, I hope that's one of the games that gets keyboard and mouse support.
Okay. And then February 28th, the last day of the month, Constructor Plus on PS4, Xbox, and PC. So, yeah, that's it. Pretty busy month. I know next month is going to be even busier, so hopefully you find something that you're really looking forward to. I'm actually kind of excited to hear about Trials Rising, and I've always been a fan of those games. So,
yeah, I knew it was coming, but I kind of forgot that it was coming this month. So that'll be a fun one to toss in the mix.
Yeah. Well, that's it for. Go ahead, Op.
Oh, I was gonna say I liked Dirt Rally 1, but it was insanely hard. It was like the Dark Souls of racing games. I'm hoping that Dirt Rally 2 is a little more forgiving. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. Well, that's it for games coming out. What's coming up new for updates?
So we had a bunch of fun updates recently, or coming out very shortly. Smite now has crossplay and cross progression for PC, Xbox, and Switch. So if you're looking for a quality MOBA experience that you can flip between those platforms, Smite's got you covered. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is getting a new game plus mode, and with that, a new level cap of 99, as well as some new options for how you scale your enemies in-game, which I'm excited about, because that's still one of my favorite games. And the fighting game Tekken 7 is getting a character, Julia, who I feel like I'm supposed to know her from something, but I couldn't remember where she's from, as well as Negan from Walking Dead. So Negan's trailer was pretty spectacular. If you get a chance to watch it on YouTube, I really enjoyed that.
Oh, Julia Chang is an existing Tekken character that's been in the series since Tekken 2. So I think she's just a fan.
Okay.
Favorite character that wasn't in the initial release.
Got it. Yeah, so that'll be coming out as part of their season two pass, over the next couple weeks. And then Rocket League is finally releasing their cross-platform friend system. That'll be out on the 19th, so theoretically tomorrow as we're recording this. And I am really looking forward to that, because we've played Rocket League a few times on our Monday night game night and had a lot of fun, even though I'm atrociously bad at the game. I think the cross-platform friends will really push it up a notch, especially with Switch, PC, and Xbox being able to play together already. So, Hop, do you want to walk us through the Rainbow Six Siege Year 4 updates? There's a lot of them here.
Yeah, this is, if you're a Rainbow Six fan like I am, this is a pretty huge update for this year. This is one of the, I think this year's going to be the best as far as how they're handling balance and team playing. They announced these big changes at a live stream during the Rainbow Six Invitational 2019. My favorite thing now is that, because this happens a lot, especially on Xbox, there's kind of a toxic community going. But anyway, friendly fire will now do reverse damage to players. This will only activate after a player has killed a teammate once. So that's kind of like your accidental whoops, you walked in front of me, I shotgunned you. Sure, but not the toxic shoot you at the beginning of every round, because this has happened. After you kill a guy the first time, every time you kill after that, you die instantly. Map changes, they're going to rework three different classic maps and one new map. They also showed a list of future operators coming to the game. We're getting Australian operators, operators from Denmark, Peru, Mexico, Kenya, and India, and a U.S. Secret Service operator. I don't know if you guys are, anybody's familiar. If you're not familiar, Rainbow Six is the ultimate team of counter-terrorists and paramilitary specialists that are recruited from all over the world to take down various terrorist threats. Anyway, so the game is like an all-star of who's who in counter-terrorists, and they try to represent every little subset in the community of the world of counter-terrorism. So that's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm sure there'll be more coming out as it goes on.
I'm just worried about the assholes that figure out how to not team kill you, but take you down, like your health down.
Oh, like halfway, right.
Like, those are the jerks.
Right. Yeah, it's not so... From what I understand, on PC, it's not so bad, but on both on Xbox and PS4, it's kind of bad. There's a bunch of trolls. Hopefully that'll weed out some of them. They'll go find another game to play.
Go find your bridge.
Right.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I do have to say, Rainbow Six is great, but there's a new drug. There's a new thing out in the street that's all the kids are either really upset about or really excited about, and that's Crackdown 3. I know one particular person who can't put it down, who's always jonesing for his next fix, and that is our one and only Hoptimus. Talk to me about Crackdown 3, buddy.
Oh, man. So, I love this game. The original one, when it came out, I didn't know what it was going to be. I basically pre-ordered it because it looked kind of neat, and it was coming with the Halo 3 beta, right? That's, I think, most people that bought Crackdown 1 originally, they bought it to play the Halo 3 beta. I played the Halo 3 beta, and that was cool, but I really got addicted to the original Crackdown, like bad. I loved it. I had so much fun. And then they released Crackdown 2 a few years later, but the original development team kind of fell apart. It was made by another team. It didn't feel like the right sequel. I mean, it played the same with some additions of things that a lot of people, including myself, didn't like. But it used like the same map. It just seemed kind of lazy. And then it died. And I kind of forgot about it because I thought, well, I'm probably never going to get another Crackdown. And then when they announced 2015, was it Gamescom or E3, they announced Crackdown 3 was coming. I was so excited. And they showed the their cloud destruction tech. Even at the time, I was like, yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. Well, it doesn't really work. It's not in the main part of the campaign. It's in the Wrecking Zone. I'm going to preface this. I have not even played Wrecking Zone. I'm only going to review the campaign because right now that's all I really care about. So I'm having so much fun with that. Anyway, so Crackdown 3 is the true sequel to the original game. It feels like, you know, it's not a breakthrough. It's like it's like when they made, you know, Aliens to Alien. It's a progression. It's not a... It's not a revolutionary thing. But it's a great game. The world is huge. The distance draw is crazy. The art style is just like the original. It's a pseudo comic book cell shaded look. The movement is fast and frantic. You can melee people, shoot people, drive over people with cars, steal other cars. But really, you're What do police officers say when they're taking your car for
commandeering?
You're commandeering these vehicles because you're a super cop. And they got the original announcer back, and he's just as hilarious as ever. But the most important thing about this game is that it's just fun. It's just big play. It's like a playground. It's almost like when you were a kid and you played Army with your friends and there weren't that many rules, you just kind of made it up as you went along. That's kind of how it feels playing Crackdown. And it's really neat that they include co-op with one other player. Would have been nice for four, but I gotta say, even with two people, it's a lot of fun. There is, depending on who you're playing with, some lag. So I've played with you, Finn, and Anthem, and you guys are both across the country from me. And it's been a little laggy now. When I played with Junkyard, he's in Vegas, so he's just a state away, and I didn't have any lag at all with him. So there is some latency issue. I don't know if it's due to the size of this game, because when you're playing co-op, it's mapping that entire world and all the orbs. Oh, I forgot to talk about the orbs. That's the best part, right? The orbs?
That's
y'all got,
correct.
Y'all got any of those orbs? I think that's the little magic, the little secret that makes the game fun. Because if it didn't have the orbs to upgrade your character, it may not have that same appeal. So anyway, while you're running around, there's these little green orbs that you find that improve your agility. And then you'll hear sometimes a faint sound. And those are secret orbs. And those will upgrade your other abilities. You can also upgrade your melee by doing melee combat. You can upgrade your driving by driving and doing the stunt races. You can upgrade your agility by doing the rooftop races. And you can upgrade your firearms and explosive skills by using the various firearms in the game. And if you cause like mass destruction, that really boosts your explosion skill. And that's, I mean, everybody loves doing that. But anyway, it looks good. I'm playing it on an Xbox One X 4K HDR. It looks really nice. It plays really smooth, especially single player. Now in co-op, there's a little bit of lag. The controls feel good. I mean, the jumping feels slightly floaty at times, but I think that's almost on purpose. You'll understand when you play it. It's a little frustrating at first, but the more you play the game and the more agility orbs you get, you start to understand that kind of floaty mechanic. I think if it was too tight, it may not allow you to do some of the crazy stuff that I've pulled off in this game, like 360 can-can, no reverse backspin air onto a moving platform to grab an orb before I shut down a propaganda tower. That happened today. It was crazy. I should have got video of it so you guys could see it. But anyway, I mean,
I don't believe.
Everybody that I know that's played it pretty much loves it. I got one friend, and right away he didn't like it, but I knew he wasn't going to like it because he does not really like platforming at all. Like, that's one of the things that he's not good at it, so he doesn't like it. So for him, it was out instantly. And it wasn't even because it was a bad game. It was just like, oh, that's got too much jumping for me. But everybody else I've talked to has seemed to have liked it. Now, is it a revolutionary game? Is it going to change the world? Is it going to make us all rethink our life and how we treat other people? No. So on that, it's out. It's no Far Cry 5 as far as the story goes. It's not as dramatic as any of that. It's got a pretty straightforward, even I would say like Michael Bay-esque action movie kind of a story. It's just kind of ridiculous but fun. Kind of like old 8-bit video games had. They just had a little premise of a story and you just went along and played it. If it was fun, you kept playing it. If it wasn't fun, you didn't play it. So it's really fun, has really good graphics. It's not a revolutionary game. It doesn't break any new ground doing anything really, but it's a refinement of a really good game. It's one of my favorite and most fun open world games I've played this side of Ghost. I think probably since Ghost Recon, this is the best one that's come out. And that's no knocks against other open world games. It's just that this one just puts a big shit-eating grin on my face while I'm playing it. It's fun to blow stuff up. And I mean, my review, if it was out of a 10 scale, considering it's not breaking it, I would still give it an 8 as far as fun. I'd knock off 2 points for it not truly doing anything revolutionary or new. And that's just a review of the campaign with the co-op. I have no comment, good or bad, on Wrecking Zone because I haven't even fired it up yet. But how are you guys enjoying the game now that I've ranted on for a while?
It's one of those things. I think that it's a lot of fun. I love it. I enjoy playing it solo. I enjoy playing it with obviously other people. I've had a chance to play with Are You Dead and you. So it's been a fun experience each time, and I like the freedom that the game presents itself. You can literally go anywhere in the game. You could even head towards the end boss if you really wanted to. I don't know if you'd make it there because you're not powerful enough, but you can travel anywhere. You can do any mission as long as you've come across it. So it's kind of cool in that respect. But, you know, my only gripe with the game is the climbing mechanic. Like, that drives me bonkers because I feel like I should climb something when I can't. And or when I think that I'm about to fall, all of a sudden I start climbing. And sometimes I don't grab things when I think I should. So that's my only thing that I have issues with the game. If that's my only knock, then it's really not that bad of a game.
Yeah, I think that's an art direction issue. I've noticed that as well, where if there's a few sort of wall textures that look like you should be able to stick your fingers in the gaps and climb up and you can't. That annoyed me a little bit. I think the animations are a little sloppy. Coming off of games like Tomb Raider and even Agents of Mayhem, which has a similar kind of feel to Crackdown in a lot of ways. You know, Crackdown seems a little bit of a step back in the animation department, where the things aren't as smooth and fluid when your character's grabbing and reaching and pulling themselves up. It's not as kind of to your point, Hoptimus, it's not so bad that it's a problem, but it definitely sticks out a little bit. You know, this game feels a little dated, and that can be code for nostalgic, or that can be code for needed another 6 months of development and polish, right? And I'm not sure, given kind of what they were going for, that they weren't just kind of content with the game as it was, being a updated Crackdown 1 in a lot of ways.
Right.
So yeah. I guess the question is, does it feel dated because it's like Crackdown 1, or is it dated because it's not smooth and polished or controls the way games we've played recently play?
I think, to me at least, it feels a little bit dated because it is a throwback to the original Crackdown, and that impression is reinforced by some of the little glitches with the animations, with, you know, being able to jump up the walls and like having your character kind of teleport, you know, a little bit to the left to actually make the grab instead of smoothly jumping into position and things like that. It feels there's just a little bit of jank there, and they may very well, you know, patch some of that out over the next few months, but that was something I expected from an Xbox 360 game potentially.
Okay.
Where we've gone several, you know, 10 plus years past that, I guess.
Right, and I know it had a somewhat troubled development where they kind of scrapped the whole original plan and started from scratch. I know I saw something Phil Spencer talking about it a few months back, and he just kept telling the team to make it play like Crackdown 1. Maybe they took that as, let's make it just like Crackdown 1. Yeah, I agree. The animations, I think, at times are a little jerky. They could have improved that. Some of that, though, I'm almost thinking has to do with how much exact chaos on how big of a map that is you can cause. I wonder if it's a memory issue with current gen. Because, I mean, there are moments where there is just a shit ton of stuff happening on that screen at one time, and I haven't had slowdown happen yet with that, even when on a co-op game. I think if there were more animations for all the characters running in memory, that wouldn't be the case.
Well, I mean, there was one mission where you were north of me by a mile or two in the game world, doing a whole bunch of stuff, and I was doing a whole bunch of stuff in my area. I mean, we were working on the same overarching mission, working our way towards the center, so I can't even imagine the processing power that has to be going on.
Right, yeah. But yeah, I would agree. I mean, that aspect of the game definitely feels a little dated, and that's why I said it doesn't break any new ground in that aspect. I was looking at what's interesting is looking at those notes about the on Metacritic, you know, the critic reviews, +6, -6. User reviews, +91, -75. So I think the gamers themselves are enjoying the game for what it is, a really fun game. Kind of like myself and you guys, you know, I'm not saying it's perfect. I don't think there's any real perfect game out there, but it's a lot of fun, and I don't think it deserved a lot of the bad press it got, but we'll cover that a little bit later.
Yeah, and to be clear, those are my nitpicks, right? I enjoy the heck out of the game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I do think that only two-player co-op was a mistake, but given that the game does run so smoothly, even with two players, that may not have been achievable with four, to be fair.
Well, it was, like I said, and when I played it with people closer to me, like Junk and a couple others, very smooth. Playing with Fen and Anthem, there were some frame skips and lag doing things I noticed. So I don't know how well optimized that engine is for that big of a world across latency. Like, what's the cutoff? Like, it would say, when I'm playing with Fen and Anthem, it would say connection poor, and I'd get this little red marker in the top left of the screen, but when I played with Junk, there was nothing at all to note the connection, and it was very smooth. So I'm not sure. That's why when I saw that, I was like, maybe this is why there's not four-player co-op. I don't know if they would have needed dedicated servers to make that happen or not.
I'm willing to bet that one day, if they continue to support this game and DLC comes out, there'll probably be some type of four-player co-op type thing in the future.
Would be cool. I hope we get... I was looking at the map, and there's some spots in the map where I don't see much going on. I wonder if we'll get DLC. I hope we do. I'm not counting on it, though, only because it seems like it's being well-received by the fans, but it didn't get a lot of critical acclaim, but I don't know how that affects sales, and we won't know for sure. It seems like somebody reported... I saw a story that... it's the third most played game on Game Pass right now, so at least the people on Game Pass are all checking it out.
Well, and I think I would argue that it will get DLC because that is the sales model for Game Pass, right? Is you get the game for free, but all the DLC you have to buy. So I think at the very least, we're going to end up with cosmetic DLC for the multiplayer mode.
Mm. Yeah, I still have to play that mode, and then I'll play that and talk about that maybe on a future episode. I've just been focusing on campaign. And like I said, I mean, you know, everybody plays games for different reasons. I like to kind of escape from my day and have fun and kind of shut off my brain. I don't want a game that makes my head hurt. Some games that have too many things that are like a job for me totally shuts me. I'm like, no, man, if I gotta think and do it, but no, that's not for me. I'm sorry. Like, for I got too much stuff going on in my own life with work and family that the last thing I want is a game where it becomes a job. And I like Crackdown, that it's just really fun. The gameplay smooth, it moves smooth. I mean, you can kind of, the only thing that's not in the game, you can't fly any vehicles. Like, there's no helicopters or planes or motorcycles. There's just cars. Now, there is the cool cop car that transforms and you can like drive up walls with it and stuff, so that's kind of neat. But we're limited to four-wheel vehicles, no motorcycles or planes or helicopters or jetpacks. That'd be cool. So I got all kinds of ideas for them if they want to pick my brain for what to put in an expansion.
Right. If you had a plane or a helicopter, you wouldn't want to jump over buildings. So that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But if it was a cool plane that transformed into a power suit mech that would allow you to smash buildings, then we're on to something.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think you summed it up earlier that this is a really fun summer blockbuster type of game. It's a fun beer and popcorn, you know, game to play with your buddies. And, you know, for all of my complaining about four-player co-op aside, we had a party going the other night where we had, I think, three simultaneous games with six players total all on the same party chatting while we were playing.
Yeah, and it was just, it was a really fun time just talking about it and everybody getting excited when they'd find an orb or a secret orb or, oh, look at that, and people recording clips. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't think Microsoft you know, had this been the next Spider-Man or something like that, where it was just getting a huge amount of critical acclaim, I'm sure that would have been great for Microsoft, but I kind of suspect they knew this was not that game.
They knew what they had all along. I mean, they did. Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. I mean, and as a fan of the first game, I am completely happy with this. I'm having a blast. Had it come out similar to how Crackdown 2 came out, I probably wouldn't be as happy, because that game did some different things and just kind of, it just didn't feel, you could tell it wasn't made by the same people. And from what I understand, with this one, they got at least the original director from Crackdown 1 to come in and do some work on Crackdown 3. And I think that was a big reason why it feels a lot like the first one.
I almost wonder, well, one thing I did want to point out is that the progression system through the game, where you take down the sort of lieutenants in order to defeat the big boss, is pulled right out of Wildlands. The missions where you are climbing up the towers was used extensively in Saints Row 4, as well as Agents of Mayhem, which are both, you know, games of this ilk. If you really enjoy right. Crackdown, I think, you know, Saints Row 4 is right up your alley. The humor may not always be, but the gameplay.
Saying that. Yeah. Here's something I just pulled up. I did not know this. The writer for Crackdown 3 was Joseph Staten, who wrote a lot of the Halo games for Microsoft.
Interesting. Well, and the reason I bring that up is just to say, like, I don't think Crackdown 3 breaks any new ground. It is adding and improving on the ideas of Crackdown 1, but I almost feel like they could have called this a reboot of the franchise.
Right, I would agree with that, yeah.
You know, I think that might have gone over better.
It's kind of a soft reboot. It kind of is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's been so long since we've seen an entry in this franchise. It was going to be no matter what, but I think in some ways, you know, had they called it Crackdown Reborn or something, that might have gone over better with people's expectations, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Any other thoughts, guys?
I think we've summed it up pretty well.
Well, the good news is, if you are at all interested in Crackdown 3, it is included, the full game, in Xbox Game Pass. Editorial aside, Xbox Game Pass is the best value in gaming right now if you have an Xbox. Even if you have a PC, it's a pretty good deal. So definitely worth checking out. But I think we'll all, you know, hopefully get some time to try Wrecking Zone as well and come back and give that a thorough examination in a future episode.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that.
All right. Well, Fenrir, do you want to take us through your playlist? What else? What besides Crackdown have you been playing?
Well, still Blackout. That's not going to change for a while. So I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the next one, which is Apex Legends. I've been getting a little bit more into that. I've enjoyed playing it. It's definitely different, but I think it has some perks to it that I can get behind. And I'm treating this like an old Western TV show. Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm going to finish it. I play every couple missions.
30 minutes at a time?
Yep. 30 minutes, couple missions, knock out an episode, then come back the next week and play a little bit more.
So, Hop, odds on whether Fenrir will finish Red Dead Redemption 2 on the Xbox or on the Xbox Scarlet console?
Are we talking main game or epilogues too?
All the way through, all the epilogues, but only story missions.
I'm going to say he never finishes it.
Oh, dang. That's no faith, man. Come on. That's some pure bullshit right there.
Well, given the history, you know, with other Rockstar games, there's good chance that we will see a Red Dead Redemption 2 re-release on Scarlet in 2020 or 2021.
Well, if what they're kind of hinting at happens, we won't even need a re-release. It'll just get a patch.
Yeah. That's kind of the new trend now, isn't it?
Fair enough. We'll see. Yeah. I think Rockstar would maybe want the money, but they've made so much from
this
game.
They did a nice patch for Red Dead 1 on the 1X. I mean, Red Dead 1 now runs on the 1X as a 360 game, and it looks crazy good.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point. That's also an opportunity for them to release the PC version, which has so far been absent. So
interesting.
It'll never come. Red Dead 1 didn't get a PC. This one will never happen.
Grand Theft Auto 5 did, which a lot of people were saying would never happen. So,
we'll see. Well, and then the last game I've been playing, and I need to get more and more into it because I actually enjoy it, is Battlefield 5. Even though the last foray, we sucked.
You mean
terribly.
Even though me, you, and B-Daddy just kept saying, "What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here." That was a rough night.
Yeah, and that damn medic gun is awful. I just need to level him up.
That's what's keeping me from actually playing the medic. I can't stand that gun.
I'm going to tell you my secret to Battlefield 5. You play the engineer, and you build fortifications, and then you get points anytime anyone is anywhere near your fortifications and kills somebody.
Yeah, we could have used you the other night.
Yeah.
We could have.
Especially on that damn mountainside. What in the hell's up with that level? It's the most
tough one. That map sucks.
It's the most lopsided level I've ever seen. But anyways, so that's what I've been playing. I have some games on my list of upcoming things that I'm excited to get into, but I just don't have access to them yet. So I'm looking forward to a lot of things. So this list will hopefully change the next time we record.
All right. Well, I have spent my time with my new first love, Far Cry New Dawn. One of my favorite games from the Far Cry franchise has to be Primal. It took the Far Cry formula in a completely new direction. It went back in time rather than being a modern-day game, obviously. You play as a caveman. You really don't have the, light machine gun has always been my go-to in the Far Cry games. You don't have anything with that kind of firepower in Primal. And it changes the mechanics. It changes the way that you approach situations. You have a persistent base that you can upgrade in Primal. And I have never felt more afraid in a Far Cry game than in Primal. The wildlife was vicious. The enemies were tough. And for me, Far Cry 5 had one of the best stories, some of the best characters. The setting was a lot of fun. The bad guys were really bad, and you could really, hate them. And so Far Cry New Dawn takes place about 20 years after the end of Far Cry 5. And it's a little bit of a spoiler, I suppose, but there's a nuclear apocalypse, and so you're kind of rebuilding civilization from the ashes. And for me, what New Dawn does so well is it brings in that base upgrading mechanic and that sort of tie to the people that are in your base and making the base better. They bring that in from Primal. The animals have mutated and are just nasty, nasty creatures to deal with. They're aggressive, they're mean. And so that adds another element that I really liked from Far Cry Primal, where you are scared a little bit all the time because around any corner might be, a mutated water buffalo or a bison or whatever, and it's going to trample you to death. So,
I don't know. The turkeys in Far Cry 5 are pretty ridiculous, especially at first.
So there is a little bit of a nod to that, in that the turkeys in Far Cry New Dawn are iridescent, and they are super nasty. So they definitely had a little fun with that from 5. But it was this neat marriage of the mechanics that I really liked about Primal that were kind of new and innovative with the Far Cry 5 gunplay and being able to be kind of a big badass. And so I think for me, there's a lot of upgrade mechanics in New Dawn, both with the base, but also as you upgrade your base, you get access to better and better weapons. And that kind of solves one of the problems that 5 had, in that once you got to a gun that you liked, there was really no reason to ever switch. For me, it was a scoped silenced light machine gun was my go-to gun, and I always use that. And so in New Dawn, that's an end game weapon. You're not going to get that until, you know, the last third of the game, until you've substantially upgraded your base, which really forces you to be a little more strategic. Your weapons are not as powerful or as godlike, if you want to put it that way. And again, that kind of calls back to Primal a little bit, where it keeps you from dominating the game and dominating the enemies so thoroughly as you could in 5 pretty early on in the game. Downsides to New Dawn, it is a $40 standalone expansion, essentially. There are fewer companions. There are fewer things to upgrade. There's not the Far Cry 5 arcade mode. All that's been stripped out. You just have, you know, co-op, and for those achievement hunters, player 2 is sort of the bitch seat in the game. You basically don't get any achievements playing as player 2, which kind of sucks if you're doing co-op. So, I mean, if you enjoyed Far Cry 5 Fenrir, there is no reason not to play this game. It is wonderful. And and Fenrir, you'll be happy to know that not only are the Peggies still around, but you actually interact with them in the game. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but they are a part of the game. But the big baddies are basically a gang that you're fighting, the twin sisters that run the local chapter of this gang, and they are not the the Peggies from Far Cry 5.
Well, this is definitely on my list of games to play, but it'll be probably when I get on vacation. So
I still have to beat regular Far Cry 5. Shh, don't tell anybody.
I am happy to join you for co-op, Hop. I really enjoyed 5. So the only downside of playing co-op is you don't get your companion, and the companions are sometimes what makes the game great. Well,
I got a backlog, and my backlog is gonna. I mean, you're gonna talk about your next game, which I already see in the list. I got a backlog for that too.
Yeah, well, we talked about Crackdown 3. Obviously, played that, and then I also what came out this week, as we mentioned, was Metro Exodus. I have been a admirer from afar of the Metro series. I've always heard about it. I've seen it played. I've watched streams of it on Twitch. Never actually played it, despite having owned both the original release and the remastered release for both 2033.
Whoa, that's just like me. Mel, we are the same. I also own the remastered releases of Metro 1 and 2 and this new one. I haven't played any of them yet.
I'm a bad person, Fenn. I don't know what
they
to say.
They look great.
Okay, before you go any further, Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light, they don't hold up well in the game mechanics department, but the stories of them are both really great.
You're talking to a guy that's playing Crackdown 3 that is compared to an archaic game, so I think we'll be all right.
I mean, I'm just full warning, but the story is awesome. I've started reading the book Metro 2033, and there's so much in the book that I wish they would have put in the game so far, but it is so worth it just to play the story and understand the world that you're jumping into.
I jumped into Metro Exodus and I played through the first hour or so, which was basically the first introductory mission to kind of get you set up in the story. And without spoiling anything, I think I would be pissed off if I were a fan and had played through the first two games and then they did what they did with the story in Metro Exodus.
I see. I think I know what happens because they've kind of alluded to different things about where the story is going, but I don't know the particulars or the details. So, but don't ruin it. Just
no, I don't. I don't want to. That's what I'm saying. Like for me, it kind of just felt like one of those
retcon.
Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, everything is not what you thought, kind of things. And I just feel like that's such a lazy storytelling mechanic. And it really, maybe it's just me, but it rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. But I'm not invested in the Metro universe at all, so I was just kind of shrugged and went about it. Aside from story, the game looks really good. It has Dolby Atmos native support, so you get the best sound of any game out there right now. I mean, it sounds incredible. I am not a patient man. I acknowledge this is a character flaw, and I have a little bit of trouble with the gameplay so far in Metro Exodus. Sneaking around in the dark, I have no way to see. I have no night vision goggles or anything, and the guards have flashlights that I can shoot at, but that's noisy. I don't have any silenced weapons. So I struggled a little bit just to get through the first level because I felt like the game was asking me to be this super sneaky guy and just sneak up behind everybody and knife them silently, or just go, you know, guns blazing and sort of hope for the best. But it seemed like I was getting killed quite a bit, you know, going crazy, shooting everything. The only way to really progress in certain areas was to be stealthy. And so I just don't like forced stealth games personally, because I don't have the patience. So, I don't know. So far, it hasn't grabbed me. I've certainly been much more enthusiastic about playing Far Cry New Dawn and Crackdown 3, not to mention the other, you know, two dozen games on my backlog. But I'll try and get back to it. I'm just not sure when that'll be at this point. It hasn't done enough to keep me coming back for more. So, those are the highlights of my playlist for the last few weeks. Hop, how about you, man?
Crackdown? still doing some Blackout. Did some Battlefield 5 with the guys the other night. That was, to quote B-Daddy, a shit show. we just were getting rolled, and then we were on this snow map up in the mountains, which is just like, you're just getting shot to shit. Still playing a little bit of Elder Scrolls Online. I'm trying to be good about maxing out my Warden character so I can play the Necromancer when the expansion comes out, but that's kind of slowed down a bit because of Crackdown. Picked up King of Fighters 13 because it just went backwards compatible. That was a one of the last King of Fighters games that SNK made. It's completely redrawn with beautiful, huge, hand-drawn animated sprites that are gorgeous. Gameplay is great if you love 2D fighters, especially if you're a fan of King of Fighters. It's $29.99 digitally. It's a 360 game, but it's backwards compatible on the one. It looks beautiful. And I've been playing Rainbow Six Siege. The year 4 updates are about to start, and I still enjoy that game.
I really like Rainbow Six Siege. I just haven't invested the time to get good at it.
Hard. Yeah.
Yes.
I was lucky enough that I started playing, you know, Sith took me under his wing, and then I started playing with Big J19. He's a big fan, and he's really patient with you. He will tell you, don't do this, do that. You know, and he's got a good group of people that regularly play, and they're all pretty good about like being cool if you're new. I mean, I still feel like the new guy, and I've been playing with these guys for like over a year. You know, and it's a tough game, man. People that play it are really into it, and they've been playing it for a long time. It's not new player friendly, or it has a definite skill curve to it, and it's a long curve. It's not a short little curve like Apex Legends or anything. It's like the skill curve on Rainbow Six is pretty long. So yeah, that's what I've been playing this week, and Crackdown.
Awesome. Well, glad to hear Crackdown and not Crackdown are going well for you. We'll just lump all the non-Crackdown games into one category from now on for you. So, moving on, we have some community updates. Let me start off by saying the Tag community is supported through our Amazon affiliate link. And you can find that on theadultgamer.com. We can only exist. We can only pay our bills if people use those links. We don't do Patreon. We don't do anything else. Part of the reason this podcast exists is because people use that affiliate link and it pays our bills for the tools that we use to make the podcast. So if you get a chance, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, you can do so by clicking through the link at the bottom of theadultgamer.com. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't change your price, but Tag gets a little kickback for you using that link. We also have a Discord bot that, when you post an Amazon link, we'll try to automatically give a little preview and add the affiliate link to it. And if you see that, please use the bot post to click through because that has that affiliate link on it. In addition to the usual game nights, which the guys will kind of refresh us on, we also have our book club. The book club is just finishing up the February pick, Skyward by Brandon Sanderson, which was chosen by our friend Are You Dead? We will be choosing a new book for March soon, so if you join now, you actually might get to be the one to choose the book for March. So go ahead and just dive into the book club channel on Discord. We'd love to have you, and it's very casual, very laid back, so it's a lot of fun. Hop, can you tell us a little bit about game night on Mondays?
So Xbox game night is a night where we decide a game to play. Usually it's a game that was either a game with gold or a Game Pass game. Recently, Super Bomberman R went free on Game Pass, and so this week, tonight actually, people should be playing Bomberman R. I hope to maybe get a match or two if anybody's still on when we get off. If not, I can think of a couple other games to play. But yeah, we pick a game, we kind of pull the channel on our Discord and figure out what people want to play, and then you can nominate any game. But in order for a game to be widely accepted, it usually needs to be something either on Game Pass or Games with Gold, or a freakishly popular game like Forza Horizon, which happens to be on Game Pass, so that worked out anyway. Yeah, that's our Xbox game night.
On Thursdays, we got Halo night on Xbox, and that's always a good time. We jump around between Halo MCC and Halo 5, depending on what's happening, try to get as many custom games in there and, you know, some matchmaking if things are working. But hopefully we can have a good time on Thursday, so come join us. We start at around 8:30 Eastern and go at about midnight Eastern.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is if you're not aware, both MCC and Halo 5 are part of Game Pass now. So if you're a Game Pass subscriber, you know, just get them downloaded and you're ready to go for Thursday.
And always check the night before in case there might be an update, because sometimes they like to randomly drop one.
That is true. Moving on, we have our Gems of War update from our friend Calvin. I'm going to drop that in here.
Hello, fellow taggers. Here's the Gems of War summary for the week ending February 10th and 17th. Overall, a decent couple of weeks. We gained a combined 372 levels. We did 28 legendary tasks. We gained over 108,000 seals and collected around 21,000 trophies. We have 608 entries into the $30 Canadian draw that was won by Bod Pancho. And we had 717 entries into the other $30 Canadian draw that was won by Lagertha. We unfortunately did not close the 12th portal in the last raid event, and we did place 24th overall in Guild Wars last week, so that's going to keep us in Bracket 3 for the next Guild Wars event. This week, we have a regular weekly draw for $10 Canadian, and we're also running a trophy event that's going to run until the 24th. So, Looking forward to everyone getting a bunch of trophies this week. Let's smash it up. And until the next update, see you all in game.
And Fenrir, I've been hearing a rumor. Maybe you can enlighten us about something called Tabletop Game Night.
Yeah, Tabletop Game Night is something that's going down on Wednesdays around 8 to 9 Eastern. They start there. But pretty much anybody's welcome to come. Join in. They get the chat going on Discord down in the voice channels. And they pretty much play different kinds of games. Right now they're playing around with Uno, Cards Against Humanity, just trying to get familiar with the tabletop simulator. And they are working their way up to some more complex games soon. So if you're interested in getting into some board games or card games, but you want to play with the people of Tag, check out Tabletop Simulator. You can get it through Steam. And I believe there's a cost to it. Not entirely sure what the cost is, but check it out. Reach out to people in the PC channel if you're interested in joining in.
All right. Well, thanks, Fenrir, for that. It's always great to see us adding new activities for the community. It's one of the things I think is great about Tag. So since we did our deep dive this episode, this being a very special episode of the TagCast, we don't have a deep dive topic, so that's going to wrap us up for tonight. I am Melified. You can find me on our Discord. The link is at theadultgamer.com. You can find links to the podcast in all the places, Spotify, iTunes, and Google at theadultgamer.com/podcast. And you can find me on all of the gaming things at melified.com. I have a little site up there that has my gamer tag listed everywhere. Optimus, how about you, man? How can people stalk you? I mean, find you?
Well, boot up Crackdown 3. That's right now. where you can find me. And all kidding aside, at theadultgamer.com, you can find me on the Discord. Right now, I'm carrying the moniker Hop Solo because of a most excellent beer from Sierra Nevada. You can find me on Xbox Live under Optimus Maximus, but the I in Maximus is a number one. I play a little bit of everything, but I like to play co-op shooters, battle royals, Halo, racing games, and loot
Crackdown.
RPGs like Borderlands, Diablo, Crackdown. Yeah, that's going to be the thing for a little bit. Yeah. What about
Until
you, Finn?
March.
Where can we find you on these interwebs?
Just find me on Xbox Live at Fenrir765 or on the Discord as usual. If you're by chance found the podcast through a random, you know, search of gaming podcast, please go to theadultgamer.com, click the link, join the Discord. We'd love to have you come in. Don't be shy. Just lurk around the channels, pop in, say what you want to say. You'll make a friend somewhere.
Yeah, pull up a chair, grab a drink, say hello, find the right channel in a minute, and get to some gaming.
Yeah, and then the last thing, I don't want you guys to be shortchanged. Mel, we did have a deep dive tonight, and that was all about Crackdown 3. So
Fair enough.
But, yeah, feel free to find me. Hit me up. I will play any game that I have, and I will enjoy talking to you and chatting about games or chatting about life.
Sometimes if you buy Fenrir the game, he will also play that game.
Yes, I will definitely play the game with you if you buy it for me.
Yes, I have used that tactic a few times, I will admit.
But, I am very appreciative of that. Thank you, Mel. But, I will definitely join in with you. And, thank you for listening to the podcast, guys.
Yeah, and by the way, if you like what we are doing here on the podcast, maybe you're really finding it entertaining, you are amused by Hop's long-suffering addiction, you can actually review us. You can give us a rating on iTunes. You can review us on Google Play and Spotify. And that helps other people find the show. We don't have advertisers. We don't really push the show super hard, but we'd always like to reach more awesome people in the community and have them find Tag so we can get to know them. So feel free to review us.
And if you want to be part of the show, just let us know.
Yes.
You know, we love to have anybody that's willing to talk about games come and join us.
Yeah, and you can find us on the podcast channel on our Discord. So, guys, thank you very much. It's been a blast, as always. Let's go see if we can get some Bomberman action in before the night is over.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a party.
Good night.